My studio guest has picked up a major award at the Northern Ireland Road Safety Awards. Crescent Link Station Commander Kieran Doherty was presented with the Emergency Service Person of the Year accolade, and the majority of his 29 years of service has been dedicated to responding to fires, road traffic situations, and many other emergency incidents. Kieran, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
29 years. Does it feel like 29 years?
No, it certainly does not. I still feel 30 and I still feel 18.
Don't we all? Well, are you a lifer? I mean, in that sense, did you know from you were a nipper, Kieran, that this was the gig for you?
Probably not. I probably had a hankering after my grandfather and uncle for the Merchant Navy years ago, but that sort of passed. And then I didn't fall onto it. My dad seen an advert in the paper and I got a like a look at that. And I struck really lucky and I got a real job satisfaction career for life.
Indeed. And what age did you start?
I started at 21 years of age.
Right. So young and fit and healthy.
Young and fit and healthy.
First boy up the ladder.
That was me, yeah.
Kieran, what part of the world are you from? Tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, myself, I'm not from the city myself. You probably got from the accent. I'm from just outside a little village called Drumshorn. It's between Limavady and Dungiven.
No, sure.
Born and bred there. Stayed there, brought my wife up there. She's happy enough as well, so we've stayed there. I've worked up here in the city started in 1987, January 1987, so 29 years now in a couple of weeks. Served 8 years here in the Northern Road. Took a wee promotion to Ballymena for 7 years, went to Corian and then back here. And I'm now a Flexi officer, one of the officers now in the district.
And I love going up to Crescent Link. It's a lovely facility. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems very modern to me. Maybe you want it fancier and flashier, but it's a heck of a place to walk into. What is it about the fire service? It's that meticulous thing? Everything's shining? Everybody's turned out properly? There's real discipline there.
Well, there is a discipline, and it's a disciplined service, you know, and you have to have that, and you have to look after your equipment because, as you say, Mark, everything's shiny, but it has to work. And if it's looking dirty, the chances are it's not going to work. So you have to maintain your equipment. And I think probably the old Navy heritage from years and years ago, all the old ex-Navy guys come into the service years ago, that wee bit of heritage is still there yet, so it is, you know.
It's funny how those kind of values are passed down, because Derry is probably not unlike anywhere else, but a lot of the families, you're saying that yours was a services family. I mean, who was it last year I was speaking to? And I think he was the fourth generation Derry fireman. It's sort of, these values can be, they come down through families, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. And I think these sort of things stick with you. It's the same for every service. You see it with the ambulance and the police and even the old Navy. And as I say, the Navy's, it's leaving us now, you know. Mm-hmm. But that was probably the service that I had in my head. And as I said, the old heritage from the Navy and the fire service, maybe that was my lucky break, you know. Mm-hmm. And
What is it that draws guys? So a lot of kids, they just look at a fire engine, they go, "That's my thing." What is it that draws guys like you? Because a lot of people don't like the rigor of having to be turned out the same, having to do what you're told. You know, that very strict chain of command and training and all the rest doesn't suit a lot of people.
Well, if I told you, Mark, that even though I don't ride in the big red shiny lorry as they call it anymore, I go in my white right shiny car. That's the buzz. When you get that radio message, you get a buzz. And nobody has lost that buzz. Anybody that's on the service still has the buzz. And even when they retire, the guys miss that buzz as well. So they do. And that's what it is, it's the buzz. Plus, you're helping society. You feel as if you're doing a worthwhile job. You're helping people. You're helping the vulnerable in society. And there's so many vulnerable people in society now as well that it is such a worthwhile job.
It'll strike listeners, as it always has me, that thing about, you know, you guys will put yourselves in harm's way because there's a drive in the fire officer to make the world a better place or to help and all the rest. And it's almost uniform throughout the service, the kind of guys you meet and women. You know, you're helpers, you're yes. carers in a yes. way, you know, you're community people.
But as I said, it's the buzz. And you know something, you probably are a wee bit of an adrenaline junkie as well, because what normal person would run into a fire whenever everybody else is running out, you know? But it's the training that you get that allows you to do that, and the equipment that we have. And I know, and we're so up to date now in the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service with the equipment we have. Mm-hmm. It's great. Mm-hmm. You know, it allows you to do all those things.
I'm just thinking, as you speak, Kieran, about 9/11 and those horrible, and the amazing things that fire officers did over there. And closer to home, I happened to be, I think it was one of the first in the scene of fire recently there, just in the Greater Fountain area. And four of your guys were, you know, just arrived, ordered straight in. This blooming house is on fire.
Yeah.
Small, curtailed, little terraced house, and they came out, you know, minutes later, and you know, threw the headgear off and stuff, and they were utterly, utterly, utterly exhausted. They'd given their absolute 200%, and yeah, I don't know. I just stood there going,
Well, you're right, Mark, and I'm glad that you've recognised that, and I think most people in the city and in the rural area that we cover as well all recognise that. But it's a job, as I said, that you're trained to do. But when you turn up, you know what you're going to do. You've got the equipment, and it's just a calling. It really is. That's all I can call it, say. It's a calling.
As a young man in the service, you would have saw the tail end of the troubles then.
I did. January 1987, I joined the service. Came to Redwatch here in Northern Road in April 1987 and joined just right at the tail end. And I have to admit, I did experience a few things. And what I didn't realise was my old station commander, Sonny Jarvis, had actually lost his brother a couple of weeks prior to that in a terrorist incident. And I just didn't know. But for about 3, 4, 5 years, it was normal.
Yeah.
It really was. You know?
I mean, we don't need the detail, but I'm assuming you would have attended some of those prominent incidents.
A few, but you know, the guys in the 70s, to be fair, and they're all retired now, but there's still quite a few of the guys about in the city in the 70s and the early 80s. They did attend a few horrendous incidents, and all that's passed down because it's sort of part of the folklore, you know, what big job you got and what you attended. But it's sort of a therapy because boys every now and again still talk about those jobs they've had. And if you recognise it, hey, it's your wee bit of therapy of how you get through all those sort of things. Because back in the day, you know, nobody recognised stress or post-stress disorder or anything. And how they dealt with it was round the table at night with your cup of tea and your rounds of toast and your cheese and whatever. And that's how you did it.
But what happens if you fell out with your mates in work then? I'm sure it's like anywhere else, you know?
It's like anywhere else, you know. Not everybody's 100% friends. But as what you said, Mark, the four boys that jumped out of that lorry, you know, they mightn't be lifelong friends and they mightn't go out for meals and they mightn't have a few pints together. Mm. But the professionalism is there that they will do the job. Mm. And for those few minutes and for the while afterwards, they will talk and they will be together.
But they were soaking with sweat, and stepping outside of the house, then they had to walk straight out of the house, which was in flames.
Yes.
And to be debriefed there on the front step of the house by the commander, who was going like, A, B, C, D, bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
And these guys were utterly, utterly drained, and the four of them stood there. It was almost like robotic.
I suppose, you know, when you see it like that, it looks robotic, but trust me, it's not robotic. Mm. It's you know, they have a job to do. They have to give a specific description of what they've actually done, because we would have like a primary and a secondary search. So your first sweep onto a house is, right, have you found anything? And that commander out in the street, he's the guy, believe it or not, who's got the most pressure, because the public are sitting looking at him and they say, well, is there anybody in that house? So he's depending on the four guys to give him that information. There's nobody in that house. But Mark, before he leaves, he'll do a secondary sweep of that house as well to make sure that there's nobody under the bed, there's nobody in the fridge, there's nobody in the cupboard, there's nobody in the attic. And that's what the guys do. So they come out, they're sweating, but it's the fire gear they're wearing as well. Because it's so fire resistant and fire retardant, the sweat's got nowhere to go anymore.
Exactly.
And you were asking me when I joined. I joined in the days of the old yellow leggings, the black boots, and a navy buttoned a tunic. And I still have it at home yet, up in the roof space, and you always think, man, that's great. I still look at it every now and again when I'm up with getting the Christmas decorations. I'm not that big a sad of looking at it, you know.
But it wouldn't be worth 2D now, do you?
Probably not, but in my head it's worth a lot, you know. As you said, from 29 years ago, you're looking at it, and I think most boys will say, I've got that in my old tunic, you know.
Kieran, you're talking about stress there. Look, it's easy to get very excited about this, but there are some things in our society that I find inexplicable and intolerable. I mean, it's when people, you know, have a go at doctors or nurses in A&E and they're drunk and they're throwing themselves about. But you see these events, you know, throughout the year, you know, fire service arrives to put out fire, is bricked and stoned. By young people.
Yes.
I cannot get my head around that. How do you deal with that as a team leader, as a manager? But when you're on the ground, your guys are coming back and a guy's got a brick to the head for trying to put a fire out.
Well, Mark, my role in this district is community fire safety. And we try and engage within the community with all the groups, and particularly with the young, to show that we're a uniformed service there trying to help people. But as you said, unfortunately, these things do happen. But, you know, you can't react because in today's society, if you react, you will be taken to task.
Well, exactly. And I mean, the frustration must be that your guys are young, strong men and women, and they could probably flatten them with a, you know, with a back of their hand.
But the very first thing we said, we're a disciplined service. And that's why we've got good people in the job, because they're disciplined, they can keep control of themselves. And as you said as well, they're taking orders from the guy out in the street.
Do you understand where that comes from? Are you any clearer to understand that? Is it simple to say, coming out of the troubles, is it simple to say, oh, they think you're the police, and that excuses it, you know?
No, I don't think it comes out of the troubles, Mark. I just think it's today's society. And, you know, if you look all around the world, everything's the same.
You know, does that happen in New York? Would New York boys, I would have thought they wouldn't have lasted 10 minutes if they tried that in New York.
Probably better not to comment on that one, you know.
No. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. You and me probably played football out the backyard years ago. I tend to see people sitting now with computer games. The boredom sets in. We've got nothing to do. I think it's just down to education. And
what would have happened to you as a nipper if you'd thrown a stone at a farmer?
My dad would have welted.
Your legs have been broken.
You're right. My dad would have went, what are you at? And if the teacher had to give you the strap, he had to give you a strap for getting the strap, you know.
I had a teacher. I got cane the teacher. You got an honest for being cane.
That's right.
Goodness me. What have we got? Councillor Paul O'Kane is a retired firefighter. Oh, we know Paul very well.
Oh, yeah.
There was a time when the fire service and the BBC worked very closely together. In a
That's right.
Paul tells us on the phone, I would do it all again. Firemen are unsung heroes. And I remember Paul probably been sitting here counting 2 pence for Pudsey.
That's right.
Late at night and all the rest, you know.
So I remember those Friday nights in November. Yeah. Paul had what that knack of getting everybody out the door at... You're on duty at 9 o'clock, and you had out the door at 8:45. Mm-hmm. You were standing all around the city, and you had the night shift going right up to about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And we were in the back of the old emergency tender counting the money and in here. And Paul was just mad keen for that.
We still have
the plaque in Northern Station yet for all the money we collected all those years, you know.
Very good. Kieran, I mean, obviously these days it's a fire and rescue service, and you're ever more prominent at the like of road traffic accidents. That must be a tremendously challenging brief when it comes up.
It can be.
Horrible.
And that, I must admit, that's the one where, as an officer myself now, when you're driving away in the car by yourself, where you need a wee outlet. And I've been lucky enough in my career to have worked with some really tremendous people. And there's one guy particularly now, he lives in Korea and he's just retired. And he's the sort of guy I can just ring up and say, Stephen, look, I've been out on RTC. What did you get? And then you'll talk it through with them, you know, and that's it, you know, you need that wee release, whereas the guys in the appliances are going back to station, having their cup of tea or whatever.
Is the secret there to go through the gory detail, not for here, but is the secret there to actually say what you did see in detail?
No, not really.
Because there's stuff that you'll have in your head that you can never unsee.
Well, I'll be honest with you, with the demos that we do, Peter Ward's the guy does the comparing of them, and he says he can see every fatality at an RTC that he's been to. And that's correct. I can still see every one I've been to. Now, the faces blur through the years, but I can still see every incident, and I can still see in my mind most of what has happened.
How many such incidents would you have dealt with, would you think, off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, I think I've been to about 37 fatalities for RTCs. Sat down with my mate Stephen one day, and we sat down, counted them all up, you know. And then when I moved back to Derry, you know, as an officer, they do stick in your head. But that's just myself in 29 years. There's other guys
more
way back in the day, whenever there was 300 fatalities 30 years ago on the roads. You know, we're down now to 67 this year, 76 last year. So our education is working. But it's still there, and you do see them all.
Kieran, I wonder at what stage in life, were you the fella to get organised in school? Were you the boy that captained the soccer team? What I'm asking is, at what stage did you realise that leadership was maybe the task for you in the fire service?
Probably whenever I seen guys getting promotion at the start of my career, because at that time I was still mad keen into my Gaelic and my rugby. Played Gaelic for the local team, Drumshorn, and I played rugby for Limavady. Big into my music. But then the penny drops and you see people getting promotion, you go, well, you know, I could do that. And then you do get the bug then, you go, yeah, I like this, and I'm good at it, or I think I'm good at it. Other people might have a different opinion, you know. But you just progress on it, and you want to better yourself, and you feel you can make a difference. And
you see, because it strikes me that you're all alpha. I'll do it.
Yes.
That kind of guy. So
yes.
I assume that most fire officers, men and women, have got a leadership thing because they have to.
We have. And you know something, it's our old area commander, Trevor Ferguson, said, we're a can-do organisation. Everybody wants to put their two pence in and say, we can do this or we can do that. And that's what's really good about the fire service. The guy's only in maybe 6 months and he's riding in the back of the appliance. He might pipe up with something. You always pay attention to it because, hey, that might work. The guy that's in 29 years, like myself, he'll come in with something through all his experience. So you always listen. Mm-hmm. And you're right, we are a can-do service. And anybody who's just on the job from 6 months to 30 years will always have an opinion. And that opinion, whether you use it or not, sometimes it's really, really relevant.
So what's the key then to leading those kinds of people? Because they're not sheep, they're not followers, naturally, are they? They're step-forward kind of people. What have you found to be the secret in leading those people?
I think you probably need to gain their respect. Now, people might not always like you, but we discussed that earlier on. That's just normal in walks of life. But if you can gain their trust and their respect and show that you know what they're doing and you know actually what they're doing. Mm. And I think as well, the fact that you've come up through the ranks yourself.
And is that always the case, by the way? Is there ever a bureaucrat, with the greatest respect to bureaucrats, but are there ever bureaucrats in charge of the service at your level? Because most of the commanders that I've interviewed down the years, they were there at 18. They were there.
Still the same yet.
Yeah.
In fact, our new area commander, Mark Deeney, has come up through the ranks from a firefighter 22 years ago,
yeah.
And just last week he's been made area commander. So, which is good because he's been there, he's seen it. Unbelievable or not, he's there fighting for the guys all the time. And today's society, you know, there is cutbacks, but he's there and he's fighting for everybody.
But what about what I always find the really interesting task is when you're given responsibility, then, and when change comes along, or when cuts come along, you have to do stuff because, you know, the government requires you to do it.
Yes.
Your heart is as a fireman.
Yes.
But then as a manager and as a leader, you've got to say, no, we've got to make changes here that I might not be best pleased about, but I don't let the guy see that I'm not best pleased. I've got to lead this.
Well, Mark, you've got to be pragmatic, you know, because in today's society, there's some changes you can't not justify because you're an accountable service to the taxpayer. And, you know, you can't be seen to be just doing this, that and the other. You have to be seen to be doing a public service, going out, engaging with the community a lot more. Community fire safety has taken big, big, big strides. Mm-hmm. You've seen all the campaigns on the television and the radio and all the publicity we get from the like of yourself. Whereas years ago, Paul Keane would have been sitting there, he'd have been telling you, go and get that bit of brass cleaned. You've been cleaning the same bit of brass every day. So we have progressed and we're with the community and that is part of the change in the cutbacks.
Let's be honest, because I've known a few firefighters. There's a lot of spare time and that's the way it has to be because it could be the worst fire in 10 minutes' time.
Yeah.
And you have to be there good to go, but there's a lot of spare time. There's a lot of pool gets played.
No. Those days, Mark, I have to say, I'll get crucified if I don't. The snooker tables and the pool tables have gone, believe it or not, we're in there, as I said, we're out with the community all day during the day. Because we've got our training and we've got our operations working. For example, we had the Brickland fire, 2 weeks ago.
How long did that go for, that fire?
That went on for 8 days.
Wow.
But we had a certain amount of operational intelligence and work went on before that when we knew that the premises were lying vacant. So the guys were getting up to date on that. As I say, we're out with the community. I'll give you an example. This week, we're working with Tesco's really closely with Irene Hewitt and our counterpart over in Lisnagelvin, where we've got the guys out all this week from Monday to Saturday. In fact, in Lisnagelvin, we're on Sunday, targeting the vulnerable in society, subtly targeting the elderly. You know, we don't want to insult anybody, and getting the Christmas fire safety message out. And that's in conjunction with Tesco. So the guys are out every single day this week. Now, I'll agree to your point, at night time, yes, probably come 10:30 at night. Mm. Yeah, we're on stand down time, but you know that's only fair enough.
It is fair enough because it must be horrifically boring at times as well if you're sat there and read, you know. But maybe a good time to read books and stuff. But the service has to be like that. I mean, it's not a criticism.
No, I know it wasn't.
Tell me about that brick kiln fire. I know there may be difficult elements to that. I mean, I was stood a field away. I was one of the first on the scene at that. I was a local businessman alerted me the minute it was gone up. And I could feel the heat a field away.
Yes.
I can't imagine what it would be like for your guy on the ground to be going, right, okay, Kieran, you're on the left and I'm on the right here, and away we go. You could have fitted two airplanes inside that warehouse. It was huge. The flames were, 40 foot in the air?
They were. And the difficulty you have there is, and we as a district identified it was an industrial fire. It's not your ordinary, as you said, in the fountain, a wee small house fire where the four guys were in and out, 10, 15 minutes. You have to recognise that these industrial fires these days, they have the potential to go on for the 8 days. So there's an awful lot of pre-planning, emergency pre-planning, and getting resources in place because there's nothing worse than getting there, getting everybody there, and then having to change your plan a day later. And that's what that job entailed, was getting all resources in place, and then we had a real good success.
But all the water in the foil couldn't have put that fire out. I mean, it was a rural situation. There was, a couple of hydrants.
Do you remember, they were
far away, and
yeah,
there were practical difficulties.
But Mark, remember you were saying that we've got really good equipment. We've got high-volume pumps now in Northern Ireland. You've probably seen in the flooding in England where they've got the high-volume pumps over in Penrith and the Pennines at the minute, or Craigs in Carlisle. We actually have three of those high-volume pumps here in Northern Ireland, the nearest one stationed up on Oma. So we did actually take water out of the foil.
Did you?
We did, using the high-volume pumps from Oma and Armagh. So,
sure, how the foil's a half a mile away.
Not a problem. Pumping down, we used the power station, went in their gate, used the jetty, had a base pump about half a mile up the road, and then straight on site, and we fed all our water from those high volume pumps.
Was not minging, as they say, the water. Would you not be? Because I'm assuming you have to make sure that the water you put in there isn't brackish and blocking your system and all the rest.
Yeah, but you've got all your filters and you've got all your sieves and everything in the equipment. But as I say, Mark, what we were at, you know, you weren't too worried about the colour of the water, you know.
I'm sure. It was a heck of an incident. You were saying about the music. So, I mean, 29 years, I'm still going strong, but no word of retirement or whatever.
I can go on one.
The hairline has retired. Up north there.
My wife will be laughing. That is a sore point. I had long, curly hair. Deep Purple and Led Zeppelin were my bands, you know. And I got my hair cut to go for my interview. In fact, I went for my first assessment, got the hair cut. And it's never growing back.
Well, they are. But no thoughts of retirement or whatever.
I can go in a year. I'll be 51, but I'm considering it, you know. Mm-hmm. People are giving me different advice. People are saying, you know, Kieran, well, you've got your health, take your retirement. But, you know, I'm really, really enjoying my job. I love my job.
You're 51's no age.
51's no age. I'm working with a really good team with Barry, Kevin and Jonathan. Yeah. You know, four guys who have got real different interests in life, but as a team we really, really work well together.
But it's the car washes I love, and I love the way your guys, because occasionally you'll do the car wash whatever for a fiver, but your guys, it's amazing. I get the car washed with a because the thing could nearly blow the car away.
Yeah,
but it's the way your guys up there, and I noticed in particular there was a young kid arrived.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, there's the fire engine, and your guys were like, come on did you see it? And it was always that thing, come on, like
yeah, yeah.
They're like, what do you call your man that did the whistling and all the rats? The Pied Piper.
The Pied Piper
thing with Wayans, you know. And they just couldn't believe their luck that they got their car washed by a fireman.
But you're right, Mark. You know, all the kids just see the big lorry and they go, wow, and the gear and the uniform. And, you know, that probably is a bit of a thrill as well, you know. A thrill in the gears, you know. Look at the firemen, you know.
But here, I was asking about the music. When you're not doing this kind of thing, when the uniform's off, Kieran, what are you at? What interests you in life?
Well, I've probably hit my second midlife crisis, as the missus says, Alison said. I got back on the motorbikes about 10 or 15 years ago, and now I'm doing triathlons.
Oh, you're not?
I am. So, what do you say? Midlife crisis.
Well, that'll keep me forever young.
Yeah.
Kieran, it's a wonderful accolade, and I'm sure, I mean, there's a modesty, as always, about you kind of guys, but the emergency service person of the year, that goes right in the middle of the hearth, doesn't it?
I'm chuffed to bits, I must admit. I'd heard about it, been nominated, and I wasn't blasé, but that's nice, as Mrs. Brown would say. But when I got it, I really was chuffed, you know. But I have to say, there's an awful lot of other people, you know, there's a list there, like the police, the ambulance service, the Youth Justice Agency, the PCSP here at Nyon, which was the old Derry Council and the Limavady Councils. And I must make special mention of people who are giving their services for free for these demonstrations, which will be Sean Carr, who's Abbey Funeral Directors, and Kira Smith down in Limavady for Browns. And a special word of mention for a guy called Bill Waters, who's my actor. Bill, I think he might have worked for another one of your competitors on our radio station. You might see him in the Richmond Centre now at this period of time. Might have a big red.
They are.
Yeah.
Hot on. Yep.
Bill plays my parent and he is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's the wee sting in the tail for the demos. And without those people there, because as statutory agencies, we all go to our work and we all get paid. Mm. But you have to recognise these people. These people are doing this on their time off and for free. And they actually make the demo at the end. They really, really do.
Well, I'm so glad you came in. What a most interesting little portal into the work of the fire service.
Kieran,
I wish you continued success. And it's a remarkable accolade and it's great to see it coming to this part of the world. So thank you for joining us.
Appreciate that, Mark. Thanks for the time.
So there you go, folks. That's the Crescent Link Station Commander, Kieran Doherty, 29 years into the service, still going strong and officially the Emergency Service Person of the Year.